my tracks, half the basketball team collided into me.
No way.
Sean was as surprised as I was when my name came out of her mouth. He was the kind of guy who had game.
Hot.
Link just stared, with his mouth open.
TDB hot.
Third degree burns, the highest compliment Link could pay a girl, even higher than Savannah Snow hot.
Looks like trouble. Hot girls are trouble, that's the whole point.
She walked right up to me, sucking on her lollipop.
Which one of you lucky boys is Ethan Waite?
Link shoved me forward.
Ethan!
She flung her arms around my neck. Her hands felt surprisingly cold, like she'd been holding a bag of ice. I shivered and backed away.
Do I know you?
Not a bit. I'm Ridley, Lena's cousin.
But don't I wish you'd met me first.
At the mention of Lena, the guys shot me weird looks and reluctantly drifted off toward their cars. In the wake of my talk with Earl, we had come to a mutual understanding about Lena, the only kind guys ever come to, meaning I hadn't brought it up and they hadn't brought it up, and between us, we somehow all agreed to go on like this indefinitely. Don't ask, don't tell. Which wasn't going to be much longer, especially if Lena's odd relatives started showing up in town.
Cousin?
Had Lena mentioned a Ridley?
For the holidays? Aunt Dell rhymes with hell, ring a bell?
She was right. Macon had brought it up at dinner. I grinned, relieved, except my stomach was still wrenched into a massive knot, so I must not have been that relieved.
Right, sorry, I forgot, the cousins. Honey, you're looking at the cousin. The rest are just children my mother happened to have after me.
Ridley hopped back in the Mini Cooper, and when I say that, I mean she literally hopped over the side of the car and landed in the driver's seat of the Mini. I wasn't joking about the cheerleader thing. The girl had some powerful legs. I could see Link still staring as he stood next to the beater. Ridley patted the seat next to her.
Hop in, boyfriend. We're gonna be late.
We're not.
You really are cute.
Now get in. You don't want us to be late, do you?
Late for what?
Family dinner. The high holidays, the gathering. Why do you think they sent me all the way out here into Gatdung to find you?
I don't know. Lena never invited me.
Well, let's just say there's no keeping Aunt Dell from checking out the first guy Lena's ever brought home. So, you've been summoned. And since Lena's busy with dinner and Macon's still, you know, sleeping, I drew the short straw.
She didn't bring me home. I just went by one night to drop off her homework.
Ridley opened the car door from the inside.
Get in, short straw.
Lena would have called me if she wanted me to come. Somehow I knew I was going to get in, even as I was saying it. I hesitated.
Are you always like this, or are you flirting with me? Because if you're playing hard to get, just tell me now and we'll go park at the swamp and get it on already.
I got in the car.
Fine, let's go.
She reached over and pushed the hair out of my eyes with her cold hand.
You got nice eyes, boyfriend. You shouldn't keep them all covered up.
By the time we got to Ravenwood, I didn't know what had happened. She kept playing music I'd never heard, and I started to talk, and I just kept talking, until I had told her things I had never told anyone, except Lena. I can't really explain it. It was like I had lost control of my mouth. I told her about my mom, about how she died, even though I almost never talked about it with anyone. I told her about Amma, about how she read cards, and about how she was like my mom now that I didn't have one, except for the charms and dolls and her generally disagreeable nature. I told her about Link and his mom, and how she had changed lately and spent all her time trying to convince everyone that Lena was just as crazy as Macon Ravenwood and a danger to every student at Jackson. I told her about my dad, about how he was holed up in his study with his books and some secret painting I was never allowed to see, and how I felt like I needed to protect him, even though it was from something that had already happened. I told her about Lena, about how we'd met in the rain, how we had seemed to know each other before we'd even met, and about the messed up scene with the window. It almost felt like she was sucking it all out of me, like she sucked on that sticky red lollipop, the one she kept licking as she drove. It took all the strength I had not to tell her about the locket and the dreams. Maybe the fact that she was Lena's cousin just made everything a little easier between us. Maybe it was something else. Just as I was starting to wonder, we pulled up at Ravenwood Manor, and she flipped off the radio. The sun had set, the lollipop was gone, and I had finally shut up. When had that happened? Ridley leaned in toward me, close. I could see my face reflected in her sunglasses. I breathed her in. She smelled sweet and sort of damp, nothing like Lena, but still familiar somehow. You don't need to be worried, Short Straw.
Yeah, why not?
You're the real deal. She smiled at me, and her eyes flashed. Behind the glasses I could see a gold glint, like goldfish swimming in a dark pond. They were hypnotic, even through her shades. Maybe that's why she wore them. Then the glasses went dark, and she messed up my hair. Too bad she'll probably never see you again once you meet the rest of us. Our family is just a little whack. She got out of the car and I followed her.
More whack than you?
Infinitely.
Great.
She put her cold hand on my arm once again when we got to the bottom step of the house. And boyfriend, when Lena blows you off, which she will in about 5 months, give me a call. You'll know how to find me. She looped her arm through mine, suddenly strangely formal. May I? I gestured with my free hand.
Sure, after you.
As we walked up the stairs, they groaned under our combined weight. I pulled Ridley up to the front door, still not quite sure if the stairs were going to support us or not. I knocked, but there was no response. I reached up and felt for the moon. The door swung open, slowly. Ridley seemed tentative, and as we crossed the threshold, I could almost feel the house settle, as if the climate inside had changed, almost imperceptibly. Hello, Mother. A round woman, bustling to lay gourds and golden leaves along the mantel, startled and dropped a small white pumpkin. It exploded onto the ground. She grabbed onto the mantle to steady herself. She looked odd, like she was wearing a dress from 100 years ago.
Julia, I mean, Ridley, what are you doing here? I must be confused. I thought...
I knew something was wrong. This didn't seem like your average mother-daughter hello.
Jules, is that you?
A younger version of Ridley, maybe 10, came walking into the front hall with Boo Radley, who was now wearing a sparkly blue cape over his back, dressing up the family wolf as if nothing unusual was going on. Everything about the girl was like light. She had blonde hair and radiant blue eyes, as if they had little flecks of the sky on a sunny afternoon in them. The girl smiled and then frowned.
They said you'd gone away.
Boo started to growl. Ridley opened her arms, waiting for the little girl to rush into them, but the girl didn't move. So Ridley held her hands out and uncurled each one. A red lollipop appeared in the first, and not to be outdone, a little gray mouse, wearing a sparkly blue cape that matched Boo's, sniffed the air in her other hand, like a cheap carnival trick. The little girl stepped forward, tentatively, as if her sister had the power to pull her across the room without so much as a touch, like the moon and the tides. I had felt it myself. When Ridley spoke, her voice was thick and husky like honey. "Come now, Ryan. Mama was just pulling your tail to see if it squeaked. I haven't gone anywhere. Not really. Would your favorite big sister ever leave you?" Ryan grinned and ran toward Ridley, jumping up as if she was about to leap into her open arms. Boo barked. For a moment, Ryan hung suspended in midair, like one of those cartoon characters that accidentally jumps off a cliff and just hangs there for a few seconds before they fall. Then she fell, hitting the floor abruptly, as if she had smacked into an invisible wall. The lights inside the house grew brighter, all at once, as if the house was a stage, and the lighting was changing to signal the end of an act. In the light, Ridley's features cast harsh shadows. The light changed things. Ridley held a hand up to her eyes, calling out to the house. "Oh, please, Uncle Macon. Is that really necessary?" Boo leaped forward, positioning himself between Ryan and Ridley. Growling, the dog pressed closer and closer, the hair on his back standing on end, making him look even more like a wolf. Apparently, Ridley's charms were lost on Boo. Ridley looped her arm back through mine tightly, and laugh growled, or something like that. It wasn't a friendly sound. I tried to keep it together, but my throat felt like it was stuffed with wet socks. Keeping one hand on my arm, she raised her other hand over her head and threw it up toward the ceiling. "Well, if you're going to be rude." Every light in the house went dark. The whole house seemed to short out. Macon's voice calmly floated down from the top of the dim shadows. "Ridley, my dear, what a surprise. We weren't expecting you." Not expecting her? What was he talking about? "I wouldn't miss the gathering for anything in the world. And look, I brought a guest. Or I guess you could say, I'm his guest." Macon walked down the staircase without taking his eyes off Ridley. I was watching two lions circle each other, and I was standing in the middle. Ridley had played me, and I had gone along with it like a sucker, like the red sucker she was sucking on right now. "I don't think that's the best idea. I'm sure you're expected elsewhere." She pulled the lollipop out of her mouth with a pop. "Like I said, I wouldn't miss this for the world. Besides, you wouldn't want me to drive Ethan all the way home. Whatever would we talk about?" I wanted to suggest we leave, but I couldn't get the words out. Everyone just stood there in the main hall staring at each other. Ridley leaned against one of the pillars. Macon broke the silence. "Why don't you show Ethan to the dining room? I'm sure you remember where it is."
"But Macon..."
The woman I guessed was Aunt Dell looked panicked and again confused, like she didn't quite know what was going on.
"It's all right, Delphine."
I could see in Macon's face he was working things out, jumping from step to step ahead of the step we were all on. Without knowing what I had stumbled into, it was actually comforting to know he was there. The last place I wanted to go was the dining room. I wanted to bolt out of there, but I couldn't make it happen. Ridley wouldn't let go of my arm, and as long as she was touching me, I felt like I was on autopilot. She led me into the formal dining room where I had offended Macon the first time. I looked at Ridley, clinging to my arm. This offense was far worse. The room was lit by hundreds of tiny black votive candles, and strands of black glass beads hung from the chandelier. There was an enormous wreath made entirely of black feathers on the door leading into the kitchen. The table was set with silver and pearl-white plates, which were actually made of pearl, for all I knew. The kitchen door swung open. Lena backed through the door carrying a huge silver tray, piled high with exotic-looking fruits that definitely were not from South Carolina. She wore a fitted black floor-length jacket cinched at her waist. It looked strangely timeless, like nothing I had ever seen in this county or even this century. But when I looked down, I noticed she was wearing her Converse. She looked even more beautiful than when I had come over for dinner. When? A few weeks ago? My mind felt cloudy, like I was half asleep. I took a deep breath, but all I could smell was Ridley, a musky smell mixed with something way too sweet, like syrup bubbling on the stove. It was strong and suffocating. "We're almost ready, just a few more." Lena froze, the door still in mid-swing. She looked like she had seen a ghost, or something much worse. I wasn't sure if it was just the sight of Ridley or the two of us standing there arm in arm.
"Well, hello, cuz. Long time no see."
Ridley advanced a few steps, dragging me along next to her.
"Aren't you going to give me a kiss?"
The tray Lena was carrying crashed to the floor.
"What are you doing here?"
Lena's voice was barely a whisper.
"Why, I came to see my favorite cousin, of course. And I brought a date."
"I'm not your date," I said lamely, barely choking the words out, still glued to her arm. She pulled a cigarette from the pack tucked in her boot and lit it, all with her free hand.
"Ridley, please do not smoke in the house," Macon said, and the cigarette instantly went out.
Ridley laughed and flicked it into a bowl of something that looked like mashed potatoes, but probably wasn't.
"Uncle Macon, you always were such a stickler for the house rules."
"The rules were set long ago, Ridley. There's nothing you or I can do to change them now."
They stared at each other. Macon gestured, and a chair pulled itself away from the table.
"Why don't we all have a seat? Lena, can you let Kitchen know we will be two more for dinner?"
Lena just stood there, seething.
"She can't stay." "It's all right. Nothing can harm you here,"
Macon assured her. But Lena didn't look scared. She looked furious. Ridley smiled.
"You sure about that?"
"Dinner is ready, and you know how Kitchen feels about serving cold food."
Macon walked into the dining room. Everyone filed in after him, even though he had barely spoken loud enough for the four of us in the room to hear him. Boo led the way, lumbering in with Ryan. Aunt Dell followed, on the arm of a gray-haired man about my dad's age. He was dressed like he was right out of one of the books in my mom's study, with knee-high boots, a frilly shirt, and a weird opera cape. The two of them looked like an exhibit from a Smithsonian museum. An older girl entered the room. She looked a lot like Ridley, except she had on more clothing and she didn't look so dangerous. She had long, straight blonde hair with a neater version of Ridley's choppy bangs. She looked like the kind of girl you'd see carrying a stack of books on a fancy old college campus up north, like Yale or Harvard. The girl locked eyes with Ridley, like she could see Ridley's eyes through the dark shades she was still wearing.
"Ethan, I'd like to introduce you to my older sister, Annabelle. Oh, I'm sorry. I mean, Reese."
Who doesn't know their own sister's name? Reese smiled and spoke slowly as if she was choosing her words carefully.
"What are you doing here, Ridley? I thought you had another engagement tonight."
"Plans change."
"So do families."
Reese reached out her hand and waved it in front of Ridley's face, just a simple flourish, like a magician waving his hand over a top hat. I flinched. I don't know what I was thinking, but for a second, I thought Ridley might disappear. Or, more preferably, I might. But she didn't disappear, and this time it was Ridley who flinched and looked away, like it was physically painful to look Reese in the eye. Reese peered into Ridley's face, as if it were a mirror. "Interestin'. Why is it, Rid, when I look in your eyes, all I can see are hers? You two are as thick as thieves, aren't you? You're babbling again, sis? Rhys closed her eyes, concentrating. Ridley squirmed like a pinned butterfly. Rhys fluttered her hand again, and for a moment, Ridley's face dissolved into the murky image of another woman. The woman's face was somehow familiar, only I couldn't remember why. Macon clapped his hand down heavily on Ridley's shoulder. It was the only time I'd seen anyone touch her except me. Ridley winced, and I could feel a twinge of pain shooting from her hand down my arm. Macon Ravenwood was clearly not a man to be taken lightly.
Now, like it or not, the gathering has commenced. I won't have anyone ruining the high holidays, not under my roof. Ridley has been, as she so helpfully clarified, invited to join us. Nothing more needs to be said. Please, everyone have a seat.
Lena sat down, her eyes locked on the two of us. Aunt Dell looked even more worried than when we had first arrived. The man in the opera cape patted her hand reassuringly. A tall guy about my age in black jeans, a faded black t-shirt, and scuffed motorcycle boots wandered in looking bored. Ridley handled the introductions.
You've already met my mother, and this is my father, Barclay Kent, and my brother, Larkin.
It's nice to meet you, Ethan. Barclay stepped forward as if to shake my hand, but when he noticed Ridley's hand on my arm, he stepped back.
Larkin drew his arm around my shoulder, only when I looked over, his arm had become a snake, flickering its tongue in and out of its mouth.
Larkin, Barclay hissed.
The snake became Larkin's arm again in an instant.
Jeez, just trying to lift the mood around here. You're all such a bunch of whiners.
Larkin's eyes flickered yellow, slitted. Snake eyes.
Larkin, I said that was enough.
His father gave him the kind of look only a father can give a son who's always disappointing him. Larkin's eyes changed back to green. Macon took a seat at the head of the table.
Why don't we all sit down? Kitchen has prepared one of her finest holiday meals. Lena and I have been subjected to the clatter for days.
Everyone took their seats at the enormous rectangular clawfoot table. It was dark wood, almost black, and there were intricate designs like vines carved into the legs. Huge black candles flickered in the center of the table.
Sit over here by me, short straw.
Ridley led me to an empty chair, across from the silver bird holding Lena's place card, as if I had a choice. I tried to make eye contact with Lena, but her eyes were fixed on Ridley, and they were fierce. I just hoped Ridley was the only one her anger was directed at. The table was overflowing with food, even more than the last time I was here. Every time I looked at the table, there was more. A crown roast, filet tied with rosemary, and more exotic dishes I'd never seen before. A large bird stuffed with dressing and pears, resting on peacock feathers arranged to resemble a live bird's open tail. I was hoping it wasn't an actual peacock, but considering the tail feathers, I was pretty sure it was. And sparkling candies, I think, shaped exactly like real seahorses. But no one was eating. No one except Ridley. She seemed to be enjoying herself.
I just love sugar horses.
She popped two of the tiny golden seahorses into her mouth. Aunt Dell coughed a few times, pouring a glass of black liquid, the consistency of wine, into her glass from the decanter on the table. Ridley looked at Lena across the table.
So, cuz, any big plans for your birthday?
Ridley dipped her fingers into a dark brown sauce in the gravy boat next to the bird I hoped wasn't a peacock,
and licked it off her fingers suggestively.
"We are not discussing Lena's birthday tonight," Macon warned.
Ridley was enjoying the tension. She popped another seahorse into her mouth.
"Why not?"
Lena's eyes were wild. "You don't need to worry about my birthday. You won't be invited."
"You certainly should. Worry, I mean, it's such an important birthday after all."
Ridley laughed. Lena's hair started to curl and uncurl itself as if there was a wind in the room. There wasn't.
"Ridley, I said that's enough."
Macon was losing his patience. I recognized his tone as the same one he'd had after I took the locket out of my pocket during my first visit.
"Why are you taking her side, Uncle M? I spent just as much time with you as Lena did growing up. How did she suddenly become your favorite?"
For a moment, she almost sounded hurt.
"You know it has nothing to do with favorites. You have been claimed. It's out of my hands."
Claimed? By what? What was he talking about? The suffocating haze around me was getting thicker. I couldn't be sure if I was hearing everything correctly.
"But you and I are the same."
She was pleading with Macon, like a spoiled child. The table began to shake, almost imperceptibly, the black liquid in the wine glasses gently sloshing from side to side. Then I heard a rhythmic tapping on the roof. Rain. Lena was gripping the edge of the table, her knuckles white.
"You are not the same," she hissed.
I felt Ridley's body stiffen against my arm, which she was still wrapped around like a snake.
"You think you are so much better than me. Lena, is it? You don't even know your real name. You don't even realize this relationship of yours is doomed. Just wait until you're claimed and you find out how things really work."
She laughed, a sinister, painful sort of sound.
"You have no idea if we are the same or not. In a few months, you could end up exactly like me."
Lena looked at me, panicked. The table began to shake harder, the plates rattling against the wood. There was a crackle of lightning outside, and rain began pouring down the windows like tears.
"Shut up! Tell him, Lena. Don't you think Short Straw here deserves to know everything? That you have no idea if you're light or dark? That you have no choice?"
Lena leapt to her feet, knocking her chair over behind her.
"I said shut up!"
Ridley was relaxed again, enjoying herself. "Tell him how we lived together, in the same room like sisters, that I was exactly like you a year ago, and now..." Macon stood at the head of the table, gripping it with both hands. His pale face seemed even whiter than usual.
"Ridley, that's enough. I will cast you out of this house if you say another word."
"You can't cast me out, Uncle. You aren't strong enough for that."
"Don't overestimate your skills. No dark caster on Earth is powerful enough to enter Ravenwood on their own. I bound the place myself. We all did."
Dark caster? That didn't sound good.
Uncle Macon, you're forgetting that famous southern hospitality. I didn't break in. I was invited in on the arm of the handsomest gent in Gatdung.
Ridley turned to me and smiled, pulling her shades from her eyes. They were just wrong, glowing gold as if they were on fire. They were shaped like a cat's, with black slits in the middle. Light shone from her eyes, and in that light, everything changed. She looked over at me with that sinister smile, and her face was twisted into darkness and shadows. The features that had been so feminine and enticing were now sharp
and hard, morphing before my eyes. Her skin seemed to be tightening around her bones, accentuating every vein until you could almost see the blood pumping through them. She looked like a monster. I had brought a monster into the house, into Lena's house. Almost immediately, the house began to shake violently. The crystal chandeliers were swinging, the lights flickering. The plantation shutters banged open and shut again and again as the rain battered the roof. The sound was so loud, it was almost impossible to hear anything else. Like the night I almost hit Lena when she was standing in the road. Ridley tightened her ice-cold grip on my arm. I tried to shake her loose, but I could barely move. The coldness was spreading. My whole arm was starting to feel numb. Lena looked up from the table in horror. Ethan! Aunt Del stamped her foot across the room. The floorboard seemed to roll beneath her feet. The coldness had spread throughout my body. My throat was frozen. My legs were paralyzed. I couldn't move. I couldn't pull away from Ridley's arm, and I couldn't tell anyone what was happening. In another few minutes, I wouldn't be able to breathe. A woman's voice floated across the table. Aunt Del.
Ridley, I told you to stay away, child. There's nothing we can do for you now. I'm so sorry.
Macon's voice was harsh.
Ridley, a year can make all the difference in the world. You're claimed now. You've found your place in the order of things. You don't belong here anymore. You have to go.
A second later, he was standing right in front of her. Either that or I was losing track of what was happening. The voices and faces were starting to spin around me. I could barely catch my breath. I was so cold, my frozen jaw wouldn't even move enough to chatter.
Go! He shouted. No!
Ridley, behave! You must leave this place. Ravenwood is not a place of dark magic. This is a bound place. A place of light. You can't survive here. Not for long.
Aunt Del's voice was firm. Ridley answered with a snarl.
I'm not leaving, Mother. And you can't make me.
Macon's voice interrupted her tantrum.
You know that's not true. I'm stronger now, Uncle Macon. You can't control me. True. Your strength is growing, but you are not ready to take me on, and I will do whatever is necessary to protect Lena, even if that means hurting you, or worse.
The weight of his threat was too much for Ridley.
You would do that to me?
Ravenwood's a dark place of power. It always has been, since Abraham. He was one of us. Ravenwood should be ours. Why are you binding it to the light? Ravenwood is Lena's home now.
You belong with me, Uncle Em. With her.
Ridley stood up, dragging me to my feet. The three of them were standing now. Lena, Macon, and Ridley. The three points of a really frightening triangle.
I'm not scared of your kind.
That may be, but you have no power here. Not against all of us. And a natural.
Ridley cackled.
Lena, a natural? That's the funniest thing you've said all night. I've seen what a natural can do. Lena could never be one.
A cataclyst and a natural aren't the same.
Aren't they, though? A cataclyst is a natural gone dark. Two sides of the same coin. What was she talking about?
I was in over my head. And then I felt my body seize up. And I knew I was blacking out. That I was probably going to die. It was like all the life had been sucked out of me with the warmth of my blood. I could hear the sound of thunder, one, then lightning and the crash of a tree branch just outside the window. The storm was here. It was right on us.
You're wrong, Uncle Em.
Lena isn't worth protecting, and she's certainly not a natural. You won't know her fate until her birthday. You think that just because she's sweet and innocent now, she'll be claimed by the light? That means nothing. Wasn't I the same a year ago? And from what Shortstraw here has been telling me, she's closer to going dark than light. Lightning storms terrorizing the high school? The wind grew stronger, and Lena was getting angrier. I could see the rage in her eyes. A window shattered, just like in English class. I knew where this was going. Shut up! You don't know what you're talking about! Rain came pouring into the dining room. Wind followed, sending glasses and plates crashing to the floor, black liquid staining the floor in long streaks. No one moved. Ridley turned back to Macon. You've always given her too much credit. She's nothing. I wanted to break free from Ridley's hold, to grab her and drag her out of the house myself, but I couldn't move. A second window shattered, then another and another. Glass was breaking everywhere. China, wine glasses, the glass on every picture frame. Furniture was banging against the walls, and the wind? It was like a tornado had been sucked into the room with us. The sound was so loud I couldn't hear anything else. The tablecloth blew right off the table, with every candle, platter, and plate still on it, throwing everything against the wall. The room was spinning, I think. Everything was being sucked out into the foyer, toward the front door. Boo Radley screamed, that horrible human scream. Ridley's grip seemed to loosen around my arm. I blinked hard, trying not to pass out. And there, standing in the middle of it all, was Lena. She was perfectly still, her hair whipping in the wind around her. What was happening? I felt my legs buckle. Just as I lost consciousness, I felt the wind, a surge of power that literally ripped my arm out of Ridley's hand as she was sucked out of the room toward the front door. I collapsed to the floor as I heard Lena's voice, or thought I did. Get the hell away from my boyfriend, witch! Boyfriend? Was that what I was? I tried to smile. Instead, I blacked out. October 9th. A crack in the plaster. When I woke up, I had no idea where I was. I tried to focus on the first few things that came into view. Words. Phrases handwritten in what looked like carefully scripted Sharpie, right on the ceiling over the bed. Moments bleed together, no span to time. There were hundreds of others, too, written everywhere. Parts of sentences, parts of verses, random collections of words. On one closet door was scrawled, "Fate decides." On the other, it said, "Until challenged by the fated." Up and down the door, I could see the words, "Desperate, relentless, condemned, empowered." The mirror said, "Open your eyes." The window panes said, "And see." Even the pale white lampshade was scribbled with the words, illuminate the darkness over and over again in an endlessly repeating pattern. Lena's poetry. I was finally getting to read some of it. Even if you ignored the distinctive ink, this room didn't look like the rest of the house. It was small and cozy, tucked up under the eaves. A ceiling fan swirled slowly above my head, cutting through the phrases. There were stacks of spiral notebooks on every surface, and a stack of books on the nightstand, poetry books, Plath, Eliot, Bukowski, Frost, Cummings. At least I recognized the names. I was lying in a small white iron bed, my legs spilling over the edge. This was Lena's room, and I was lying in her bed. Lena was curled in a chair at the foot of the bed, her head resting on the arm. I sat up, groggy. Hey, what happened? I was pretty sure I had passed out, but I was fuzzy on the details. The last thing I remembered was the freezing cold moving up my body,
my throat closing up, and Lena's voice. I thought she had said something about me being her boyfriend, but since I was about to pass out at the time and nothing had really happened between us, that was doubtful. Wishful thinking, I guessed.
Ethan!
She jumped out of the chair and onto the bed next to me, although she seemed careful not to touch me.
Are you okay? Ridley wouldn't let go of you, and I didn't know what to do. You looked like you were in so much pain, and I just reacted.
You mean that tornado in the middle of your dining room? She looked away, miserable.
That's what happens. I feel things, I get angry or scared, and then things just happen.
I reached over and put my hand over hers, feeling the warmth move up my arm. Things like windows breaking? She looked back at me, and I curled my hand around hers until I was holding it in mine. A random crack in the old plaster in the corner behind her seemed to grow, until it curled its way across the ceiling, circled the frosted chandelier, and swirled its way back down. It looked like a heart. A giant, looping, girly heart had just appeared in the cracking plaster of her bedroom ceiling.
Lena?
Yeah?
Is your ceiling about to fall in on our heads?
She turned and looked at the crack. When she saw it, she bit her lip, and her cheeks turned pink.
I don't think so. It's just a crack in the plaster.
Were you trying to do that?
No.
A creeping pink spread across her nose and cheeks. She looked away. I wanted to ask her what it was she'd been thinking, but I didn't want to embarrass her. I just hoped it had something to do with me, with her hand nestled in mine, with the word I thought I heard her say the moment before I blacked out. I looked dubiously at the crack. A lot was riding on that crack in the plaster.
Can you undo them? These things that just happen?
Lena sighed, relieved to talk about something else.
Sometimes. It depends. Sometimes I get so overwhelmed that I can't control it, and I can't fix it, not even after. I don't think I could have put the glass back into that window at school. I don't think I could have stopped the storm from coming the day we met.
I don't think that one was your fault. You can't blame yourself for every storm that rolls through Gatlin County. Hurricane season isn't even over yet.
She flipped over onto her stomach and looked me right in the eye. She didn't let go, and neither did I. My whole body was buzzing with the warmth of her touch.
Didn't you see what happened tonight?
Maybe sometimes a hurricane is just a hurricane, Lena.
As long as I'm around, I am hurricane season in Gatlin County.
She tried to pull her hand away, but that only made me hold on more tightly.
That's funny. You seem more like a girl to me.
Yeah, well, I'm not. I'm a whole storm system, out of control. Most casters can control their gifts by the time they're my age, but half the time it feels more like mine control me.
She pointed to her own reflection in the mirror on the wall. The Sharpie writing scribbled itself across the reflection as we watched. Who is this girl?
I'm still trying to figure it all out, but sometimes it seems like I never will.
Do all casters have the same powers, gifts, whatever?
No. We can all do simple things like move objects, but each caster also has more specific abilities related to their gifts. Right about now, I wished there was some kind of class I could take so I'd be able to follow these conversations. Caster 101, I don't know, because I was always sort of lost. The only person I knew who had any special abilities was Amma. Reading futures and warding off evil spirits had to count for something, right? And for all I knew, maybe Amma could move objects with her mind. She could sure get my butt moving with just a look.
What about Aunt Del? What can she do?
She's a palimpsest. She reads time.
Reads time?
Like, you and I walk into a room and see the present. Aunt Del sees different points in the past and the present all at once.
She can walk into a room and see it as it is today, and as it was 10 years ago, 20 years ago, 50 years ago, at the same time. Kind of like when we touch the locket. That's why she's always so confused. She never knows exactly when or even where she is. I thought about how I felt after one of the visions, and what it would be like to feel that way all of the time.
No kidding. How about Ridley?
Ridley's a siren. Her gift is the power of persuasion. She can put any idea into anyone's head, get them to tell her anything, do anything. If she used her power on you and she told you to jump off a cliff, you jump. I remembered how it felt in the car with her, like I would have told her almost anything.
I wouldn't jump.
You would. You'd have to. A mortal man is no match for a siren.
I wouldn't.
I looked at her. Her hair was blowing in the breeze around her face, except there wasn't an open window in the room. I searched her eyes for some kind of sign that maybe she was feeling the same way I was.
You can't jump off a cliff when you've already fallen off a bigger one.
I heard the words coming out of my mouth, and I wanted to take them back as soon as I said them. They had sounded a lot better in my head. She looked back at me, trying to see if I was serious. I was, but I couldn't say that. Instead, I changed the subject.
So what's Reese's superpower?
She's a Sybil. She reads faces. She can see what you've seen, who you've seen, what you've done, just by looking into your eyes. She can open up your face and literally read it like a book. Lena was still studying my face.
Yeah, who was that? That other woman Ridley turned into for a second, when Reese was staring at her? Did you see that?
Lena nodded. Macon wouldn't tell me, but it had to be someone dark, someone powerful. I kept asking. I had to know. It was like finding out I'd just had dinner with a bunch of aliens.
What can Larkin do? Charm snakes?
Larkin's an illusionist. It's like a shifter. But Uncle Barkley's the only shifter in the family.
What's the difference?
Larkin can spellcast, or make anything look like anything he wants, for a spell. People, things, places. He creates illusions, but they're not real. Uncle Barkley can shiftcast, which means he can actually change any object into another object for as long as he wants.
So your cousin changes how things seem, and your uncle changes how they are?
Yeah. Mostly, Grandma says their powers are too close. It happens sometimes with parents and their children. They're too much alike, so they're always fighting. I knew what she was thinking, that she would never know that for herself. Her face clouded over, and I made a stupid attempt to lighten the mood.
Ryan, what's her power? Dog fashion designer?
Too soon to tell. She's only 10.
And Macon?
He's just Uncle Macon. There's nothing Uncle Macon can't do or wouldn't do for me. I spent a lot of time with him growing up. She looked away, avoiding the question. She was holding something back, but with Lena it was impossible to know what. He's like my father, or how I imagine my father. She didn't have to say anything else. I knew what it was like to lose someone. I wondered if it was worse to never have them at all.
What about you? What's your gift?
As if she had just one. As if I hadn't seen them in action since the first day of school. As if I hadn't been trying to get up the nerve to ask her this question since the night she sat on my porch in her purple pajamas. She paused for a minute, collecting her thoughts. Or deciding if she was going to tell me, it was impossible to know which. Then she looked at me, with her endless green eyes. I'm a natural. At least Uncle Macon and Aunt Dell think I am. A natural. I was relieved. It didn't sound as bad as a siren. I didn't think I could have handled that.
What exactly does that mean?
I don't even know. It's not really one thing. I mean, supposedly a natural can do a lot more than other casters. She said it quickly, almost like she was hoping I wouldn't hear, but I did. More than other casters. More. I wasn't sure how I felt about more. Less I could have handled, less. Less would have been good. But as you saw tonight, I don't even know what I can do. She picked at the quilt between us, nervous. I pulled on her hand until she was lying on the bed next to me, propped up on one elbow. I don't care about any of that. I like you just the way you are. Ethan, you barely know anything about me. The drowsy warmth was washing through my body, and to be honest, I couldn't have cared less what she was saying. It felt so good just to be near her, holding her hand with only the white quilt between us. That's not true. I know you write poetry, and I know about the raven on your necklace, and I know you love orange soda, and your grandma, and milk duds mixed into your popcorn. For a second, I thought she might smile. That's hardly anything. It's a start. She looked me right in the eye, her green eyes searching my blue ones. You don't even know my name. Your name is Lena Duquesne. Okay, well, for starters, it's not. I pushed myself all the way up and let go of her hand. What are you talking about? It's not my name. Ridley wasn't lying about that. Some of the conversation from earlier started to come back to me. I remembered Ridley saying something about Lena not knowing her real name, but I didn't think she had meant literally. Well, what is it then? I don't know. Is that some kind of caster thing? Not really. Most casters know their real names, but my family's different. In my family, we don't learn our birth names until we turn 16. Until then, we have other names. Ridley's was Julia. Reese's was Annabelle. Mine is Lena. So who's Lena Duquesne? I'm a Duquesne, that much I know. But Lena? That's just a name my grandma started calling me because she thought I was skinny as a string bean. Lena Bina? I didn't say anything for a second. I was trying to take it all in. Okay, so you don't know your first name. You'll know in a couple of months. It's not that simple. I don't know anything about myself. That's why I'm so crazy all the time. I don't know my name, and I don't know what happened to my parents. They died in an accident, right? That's what they told me, but nobody really talks about it. I can't find any record of the accident, and I've never seen their graves or anything. How do I even know it's true? Who's gonna lie about something as creepy as that? Have you met my family? Right. And that monster downstairs, that witch who almost killed you? Believe it or not, she used to be my best friend. Ridley and I grew up together living with my grandma. We moved around so much we shared the same suitcase. That's why you guys don't have much of an accent. Most people would never believe you had lived in the South. What's your excuse? Professor Parents and a jar full of quarters every time I dropped a G. I rolled my eyes. So Ridley didn't live with Aunt Del? No, Aunt Del just visits on the holidays. In my family, you don't live with your parents. It's too dangerous. I stopped myself from asking my next 50 questions while Lena raced on as if she'd been waiting to tell this story for about 100 years. Ridley and I were like sisters. We slept in the same room and we were homeschooled together. When we moved to Virginia, we convinced my grandma to let us go to a regular school. We wanted to make friends, be normal. The only time we ever spoke to mortals was when grandma took us on one of her outings to museums, the opera, or lunch at Old Pink House. So what happened when you went to school? It was a disaster. Our clothes were wrong, we didn't have a TV, we turned in all our homework, we were total losers. But you got to hang out with mortals. She wouldn't look at me. I've never had a mortal friend until I met you. Really? I only had Ridley.
Things were just as bad for her, but she didn't care. She was too busy making sure no one bothered me. I had a hard time imagining Ridley protecting anyone.
People change, Ethan. Not that much. Not even casters. Especially casters. That's what I'm trying to tell you.
She pulled her hand away from me. Ridley started acting strange, and then the same guys who had ignored her started following her everywhere, waiting for her after school, fighting over who would walk her home.
Yeah, well, some girls are just like that.
Ridley isn't some girl, I told you. She's a siren. She could make people do things, things they wouldn't normally want to do. And those boys were jumping off the cliff, one by one. She twisted her necklace around her fingers and kept talking. The night before Ridley's 16th birthday, I followed her to the train station. She was scared out of her mind. She said she could tell she was going dark, and she had to get away before she hurt someone she loved, before she hurt me. I'm the only person Ridley ever really loved. She disappeared that night, and I never saw her again until today. I think after what you saw tonight, it's pretty obvious she went dark.
Wait a second, what are you talking about? What do you mean, going dark?
Lena took a deep breath and hesitated, like she wasn't sure if she wanted to tell me the answer.
You have to tell me, Lena.
In my family, when you turn 16, you're claimed. Your fate is chosen for you, and you become light, like Aunt Del and Reese, or you become dark, like Ridley. Dark or light, black or white. There's no gray in my family. We can't choose, and we can't undo it once we're claimed.
What do you mean you can't choose?
We can't decide if we want to be light or dark, good or evil, like mortals and other casters can. In my family, there's no free will. It's decided for us on our 16th birthday. I tried to understand what she was saying, but it was too crazy. I'd lived with Amma long enough to know there was white and black magic, but it was hard to believe that Lena had no choice about which one she was. Who she was. She was still talking. That's why we can't live with our parents.
What does that have to do with it?
It didn't used to be that way. But when my grandma's sister, Althea, went dark, their mother couldn't send Althea away. Back then, if a caster went dark, they were supposed to leave their home and their family for obvious reasons. Althea's mother thought she could help her fight it, but she couldn't. And terrible things started happening in the town where they lived.
What kind of things?
Althea was an Evo. They're incredibly powerful. They can influence people like Ridley can, but they can also evolve, morph into other people, into anyone. Once she turned, unexplained accidents started happening in town. People were injured, and eventually, a girl drowned. That's when Althea's mother finally sent her away.